All right, good. Oh, this is on the floor. That's our storage spot. Hello. Oh, yep. Awesome.
Good evening. Welcome to DBSA Boston. My name is Mary Johnston, and I am very happy to introduce Pam Garamone. She teaches positive psychology, the science of happiness, to middle school and high school students, teachers, corporate employees, social workers, lots of different people. She is a positive psychology life coach and certified laugh yoga leader. When she realized she wasn't happy, she decided to study how to become happier with Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, a former Harvard University professor. She now practices happiness rituals and teaches them to others, and that's what she's going to be to do tonight. So let's welcome Pam.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Mary. Thank you, Barry, for helping me get set up. And thank you all for being here. I am so happy to be here because I've been asked back. I spoke here, we can't remember how long ago, but so if you were like, where do I know her from? It's here. I was here. So hopefully I'm repeating a few things, but there's also some new things. And remember, knowing and doing are sometimes two different things completely. Sometimes we know things, but we don't do them. Like, we all know we should exercise 3 to 5 times a week, but how often do we actually do it? So knowing and doing, right? So if you see hear something again, it's just another opportunity to say, oh yeah, I need to put that into practice. That's the hard part. So I'm really happy to be here. I'm going to be talking tonight about positive psychology, which is the science of happiness, or how to be happier. And I guess I just want to also say that positive psychology doesn't mean we're happy all the time. It's not like, oh, I've reached happy and now I'm good for life, right? It doesn't mean we're happy all the time, because if we were happy all the time, that would be really annoying. Like, people wouldn't like us if we were happy all the time, because it's weird. There are reasons to be unhappy. Sometimes it's physical reasons. Sometimes somebody dies. Yeah, we should feel sad and we should grieve. If we didn't get a promotion at work, that's disappointing. We should feel disappointment. If someone breaks our heart, ouch, we should hurt, right? So positive psychology doesn't mean we're happy all the time. We have permission to be human, and that means feel the full range of emotions. And it gives us some tools to help us move through those emotions. Not faster, but whenever we're ready, we have some tools, we can pick them up, we can use them when we choose to. And hopefully I'm going to get to maybe, this is going to be my shortest talk ever. I usually do 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours. So it's going to be a challenge for me to get it all in, everything, but I'll try. And we won't get to everything. There may be about 4 or 5 happiness boosters that I'm going to share with you. And the idea is to pick one that you make a habit, something that you do without thinking, just like brushing your teeth. You're like, oh, I'm doing my happiness habit now. And so you just pick one, and then once that becomes a habit, you can add another one and another one. And you up here, just as to note, I have a lot of the books that are written about positive psychology. You can come look at those. And then there's some reminders of the things I teach here, and you can take anything on this table just as a positivity reminder. So let's begin. How many people have heard of the stretch zone? Good. You'll learn something right away. The stretch zone is, so this is going to be interactive a little bit. I'm going to ask you to do things. And if I ask you to do something and that puts you in the panic zone, that's really not a good place to be, because if you're like, oh, I hate when they say pair up, or I hate when they say get into small groups, right? So for some people, that puts them in the panic zone. Hopefully, I won't put you in the panic zone, because that's not a good place for learning, because you're closed off, you're too nervous, you're too anxious. You're really not learning in the panic zone. And then you have the next one is the comfort zone on the other end. That's not a good place to learn, because that's where you're like, oh, I got this. I've heard this. I've read all those books she read. She can't teach me anything new. I already know this. And besides, it doesn't work anyway. Right? So that's where your mind is shut down. You're closed off. No learning happens in the comfort zone. Not a good place to be. Then you have the stretch zone, and that's the best place to be to learn, because that's where you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable, I'm a little uncertain, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to try it, and know that being uncomfortable is actually a good thing, because that means you're taking a step into the out of the comfort zone and into some maybe awkward zone, but that's where we learn. So I hope that you're in the stretch zone for this only 40 minutes, okay? Not forever. So that's a good place to be. And also, you may have heard of the growth mindset, which is also similar to the stretch zone. And the growth mindset, this is work by Carol Dweck, and her book's on the table there. And essentially what she found that we either have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. In a fixed mindset, when you're asked to do something you've never been done before, you don't really want to do that because it's too hard. It's going to affect your identity if you do it and fail. So what she found with young people is kids with a fixed mindset, when they were asked to, well, let me backtrack. The way you get into a fixed mindset is when a parent says words like this: you're a natural athlete. You're gifted at math. Sports just come naturally to you. My child is just great at whatever. And so parents who use that kind of language with their kids, when those kids were asked to do something more challenging, they wouldn't do it. Because if they failed, now you're going to think, oh, I'm not good. It affects their whole identity. So they didn't want to try new and challenging things. In a growth mindset, that's when a parent would say things like this: oh, you got an A on the test. You must have put a lot of effort into that. You must have really practiced long and hard to be that good of an athlete. You must have really tried and asked a lot of questions. So you're praising the process and the amount of time and effort that a kid puts into it. And then when those kids were given a difficult task, they took it on. Because if you fail, it just means, what can I learn from this? It didn't affect their identity. So in the growth mindset, and I'm going to do it tonight, it's okay to fail. So I'm going to do something right now. I might fail. You might watch this and think, what on earth is this lady doing? And if you don't laugh, then it's kind of a fail to me. And here's what I do and what I've been taught in positive psychology. When you fail, you say, how fascinating. What can I learn from this? So let's see what you think of this video. So now you got to click on this. Oh, I can do it.
Okay, good.
Let me do it. And then this. Hopefully you can see that. Oh, it's not showing.
Not showing.
Why not?
Escape.
How fascinating. What can I learn from this? Usually it works. Usually it shows. I don't know why it's not. Let's try this. Just what is happening?
Who's laughing?
Why isn't this doing this?
Just
how do, this has never happened before. So what can we do? Is anyone laughing? I think you need the visual to actually laugh. Oh, that's good. So we're back to that. That's good. Oh, here we go. Here it is. Now it's working.
I'm just going to leave it. No. I wouldn't maximize it.
Don't maximize it?
No.
Should we maximize it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I know. Let's do it.
Okay.
Thank you for the encouragement. Ha ha ha! was an ad. All right. What do you think? Should I keep that in?
No.
No. All right, now.
Let's see if we can get back to where
we were. So laughter is a happiness booster. Laughter is contagious. And so I just thought I would try that again. If you didn't think it was funny, it's like, I'm watching. Should I leave that? Should I not? So it's like, how fascinating. What can I learn from this? Being willing to fail, being willing to try something new and see what happens. That's the growth mindset. So the next thing I'd just like to share is what determines happiness? So we're all born with a happiness set point, every one of us. And 50% of how happy we are is in our DNA, it's in the genes. There's nothing we can do to change that. So I kind of jokingly say my sister's the oldest and she seems to be always happy. And I kind of think that she got all the happiness genes in my family because I'm the youngest, and by the time I came along, there were no happy genes left. So I actually had to learn how to be happy. It didn't come naturally. So 50% in the DNA, 10% is also out of your control. It's the family you were born into, the climate you were born into, the environment you were raised in. That's 60% out of our control. But the good news is that 40% of how happy we are things we can do and say to ourselves that increase our happiness and well-being. And that's what I'm going to share. There are over 50 happiness boosters. Like I said, we'll probably get to maybe 4 today. So let's go to the next one. So right now, just kind of think, where are you on the happiness ladder? If 1 is living your worst possible life and 10 is living your best possible life, just kind of give yourself a number. No, don't tell anyone. Just kind of keep that in your head. And know that this changes, right? So today you could be an 8. Tomorrow something could happen, you could be a 3. So it's not like I've reached 10 and now I'm good. And the goal isn't even 10. Remember, it's permission to be human. So it's happier, not happy. So if you had asked me this question about 4 years ago, where am I on the happiness ladder, I would have said a 4 or a 5. And the reason is I had a great job. I was the executive director of Greater Boston PFLAG. And I made a lot of money. I had a lot of attention. I was helping people. I had a great girlfriend. I had friends and supportive family. But inside, so from the outside, you would have thought, wow, she looks pretty happy. But on the inside, I would go home and I would put my head on the pillow and I would run through the day and think of all the things that didn't go as well as I really wanted them to go. And the worst thing I did was I compared myself to other people, and I always came out worse. So I would say, oh, Jeff's a better speaker than me. Tom has more friends than me. They like her more than they like me. And that would make me miserable. And actually, Mark Twain has a quote about that. Comparison is the death of joy. And that is the truth, right? And then I just never felt good enough, no matter how I would win an award at work and I'd get a spike of happiness, and then I would go right back down to my happiness set level. And so nothing was ever good enough, and I didn't feel good enough. And then one day, I'm reading the Boston Globe, and on the front page, there's an article about Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar. He's a professor at Harvard University, and he's teaching a class, How to Be Happier. And he becomes famous because more students at Harvard want to learn how to be happy than any other subject in the history of Harvard University. More than economics, more than law, more than any subject, they are flooding to Tal's class to learn how to be happier. So he leaves Harvard and he starts the Whole Being Institute out of Kripalu in Western Mass. And I got to study with him for 9 months and learn the things you can do to increase your happiness and well-being. So now, if you ask me where I was in the happiness ladder, I would say a 7 or 8, consistently. So I'm not a 10 because the number one happiness booster is an intimate, loving, happy relationship, and I'm single. So if you know any hot lesbians who are available, then send them my way. You could boost me to a 10. That's all I'm saying. I kind of say that jokingly because you don't need someone else to complete you, as you know. But the other really high-ranking happiness booster is social connection. So really, having supportive friends and family can get you to a 10, even if you're single. So that's just a little bit about that. And now Sean Acor was one of Tal's teaching assistants, and he wrote a book here called The Happiness Advantage. He speaks mostly to the corporate audience, and I love this quote. He says, "Your brain on positive performs significantly better than on negative, neutral, or stressed." So why does happiness matter? Look at all the benefits. Happier people are more productive and creative. They make more money. They have superior jobs. They're better leaders, negotiating. They're more likely to marry and have lasting marriages. Happier people are more productive. Oh, the next one. have more friends. They are healthier. They live longer. They're more helpful. They're less more resilient, less stressed, less anxious, less depressed. So does happiness matter? It matters. And it just means 1% happier. That's our goal. Not like a 10, but just what if I was 1% happier? What would that look like? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And flip it. Little history. The founder of positive psychology is Marty Seligman. And he actually had a daughter who at 4 years old said to him, "Dad, why are you so grumpy?" And he was studying the DSM manual, all the things that could go wrong with people, and give them a label. And then he said, what if you flip this around and you look at what's going well with people? What makes people thrive? What makes people resilient? Because we all know people who started out in severe poverty and really tough situations, and they're happy, healthy, successful. And we know people who started out with posh beginnings, right? And they're not as healthy, right? So he decided to study what makes people resilient, what makes people thrive, and it basically comes down to this acronym, PERMA. Positive psychology means finding ways to feel good. What makes us feel good? Engagement, it means immersing ourselves in things we enjoy. And it means relationships, like I said, either a partner or social connections is a huge happiness booster. And meaning, feeling like we have a purpose. And lastly, feeling like we can set goals and accomplish them. That's positive psychology. But really, positive psychology is this. Oh no, that's my next slide. How fascinating. Made a mistake. All right, so look at this picture, if you can see it. Go back to that. And I want you to tell me the number of shapes you see in this slide. It'll give you about 10 seconds. See if you can count how many shapes you see. All right. So now I'll go back to the previous slide. And who thinks they have the right number of shapes? How many did you see?
19.
What did you see?
17.
What did you see?
Eight.
What did you see?
23.
What did you see?
10.
Nine.
None.
Okay.
12.
So we're anywhere from 9, I think, to 23. Everybody had a different answer so far.
Seven.
I have a question for you. How many children were on the bus? Who knows? You're like, what bus? All right, can you go back? Do you see the bus? How many people did not see that bus the first time around? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. So what did this mean? What does this experiment mean? That's a good life lesson. What? Don't miss the bus? Yeah, don't miss the bus. I love that. Humor. Yes. Yeah, we all see the same thing differently, don't we? We all had a different number. Some may have seen the bus. Most don't see the bus. We all see things differently, and it's really how we interpret it. And in positive psychology, it's really, let's put a positive interpretation on things. So it really boils down to this, Barry. The next one. Takes a little while for some folks, right? So it's perspective. It's how we look at what happens to us that matters, right? All right, so let's see the next one. So now, when I told you I was a 4 or 5 on the happiness ladder, this was the one out of two things. Two things made a huge difference. This is the first one. I told you that every night before I went to bed, I would run through the day and look at all the negative things, all the things I thought could be better. But this happiness habit is the exact opposite. When you go to bed at night, you have a journal right by your bed and a pen, so it makes it easy to do. And you write down 3 good things that have happened in the last 24 hours. It could be anything. It could be someone held the door open for me. It could be someone smiled at me. It could be I made a great smoothie. Doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be anything. But you run through your day and you write down 3 good things that have happened in the last 24 hours. And sometimes you don't stop at 3. You're like, oh yeah, and this happened and this happened. And then you can go as far as you want. So the way I do this personally, and I also do this with my friends. So my friend Jeff, we met for dinner last night. First thing we do, tell me 3 good things. He had 7 last night. It's not a competition, but I'm just saying. So it's and so it's 3 good things. When I talk to my mom on the phone before she starts complaining, I say, tell me 3 good things. And then you can get to the negatives. They do exist. It's not like they're not there. But let's look at the positive first. So I want to share my 3 good things. So in order to prepare this talk, I was looking through my notes, and I taught mindfulness to 4th and 6th graders in the Boston Public Schools, and one of the 4th graders drew this picture of me. It says, Miss Garamone, cool, funny, beautiful, kind, great, all the words you'll use in an evaluation of me at the end, right? So she drew this picture, and it's like, it happened about a year ago, but even so, reading those words, feeling those compliments makes me feel good. It's always good to give compliments, and it's good to receive them and make help you feel good. So that made me feel good, but is my head really that big? I know I have a big ego, but geez, right? So then this next one is, I went to physical therapy yesterday. I have an injured shoulder and neck. And my physical therapist is really good looking. He's really fit, he's buff, he's handsome. And even though I'm gay, I am kind of attracted to him because the way he does his hands, oh, feels so good. But I think when he sees me walk in, I think he sees someone who looks more like her. But I still love it, and it's still a good thing. So every time I go there, I put that in my journal.
Hey,
now,
you know what, I've got to complain here.
She is, thank you.
You gave her a slap.
Just trying to be funny, but I appreciate that, I do. No one's ever said that, and I appreciate that a lot, thank you. And this one is all of you, because my favorite thing to talk about is positive psychology, so tonight you will all be in my journal. I was at McLean Hospital and had a great group. They all loved me, it was amazing. That's what I'm gonna write tonight. All right, so now, this is the stretch zone, pair up. That means find someone to make eye contact that you can talk to and just turn to them. And the next one, Barry, tell them 3 good things that have happened to you in the last 24 hours. Again, doesn't have to be big, can be anything, anything. So find someone to chat with just for a minute, not forever. Three good things that have happened to you. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah.
We're doing good. We're a good team.
What can I tell you?
I know.
I'm sure you'll get another second.
I know. I will. Forgot how much it was.
Yeah.
I think they're like $30, maybe. I don't know.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Three good things. All right, because we're on a sort of abbreviated time schedule, normally we'd give a little more time for this, But if you can come back to me, you'll notice that when you start talking about good things, people smile. The energy picks up, because when we're talking about good things, it changes how we feel. So that's excellent. Who would like to share one of their good things? Who would like to share?
He's one of my good things.
Oh, what did you want to say about it?
He's good. I like him.
Good friends?
Well, we don't know yet.
So just, he's good. All right, so I'm going to give you one of these little toys, if you can, since you're far, or you can pick, which one would you like?
Catch it probably too.
All right, you're going to get the little ducky. There you go.
Oh.
Whoops. All right, so good thing is she met a new friend maybe, or just that somebody good next to her. Who else would like to share? Great, thank you so much. Takes a lot of courage to share, so thank you.
Well, I didn't have time with us, so
Whoops. Do I need to send you to the office?
They're at the up there. I got a call from a woman that my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, has been working with, and she just called to tell me how wonderful my daughter is. So that was really nice of her.
Yeah.
And then she called me to ask me for a favor and to ask me if I would like to do some work for her as well.
Oh.
It was lovely.
Wow.
So that's wonderful.
Here you go. Look at this. Here you go. All right, so this isn't a competition, so can anyone lower the bar here? Give me something a little less spectacular than that. Do you have something?
Yeah.
What do you have?
So I volunteer for the American Cancer Society.
Yay, aquarium!
I really like it, and this morning I took up some more shifts.
You took on more shifts? Where was it?
American Cancer Society.
Yay, very good. So give all those folks a round of applause. Yay. It takes courage to speak up in front of a large group like this. So the second part of three good things is, and I don't always do this in my journal, but it's good to know. The second part is, and what did you do to make that good thing happen? Because really, good things don't just happen. We play a role in it. You volunteered, so it made you feel good, but it didn't just happen. They didn't come to your doorstep and say, can you volunteer for the Cancer Society? No. You made it happen. So it's just interesting to notice what we do to make the good things happen. And always to notice them, because with Tal, the professor at Harvard, his quote is, when we appreciate the good appreciates. The more we see good things, the more good things start to happen. It's amazing. And it's so true. So that could be one of the things you choose as a new happiness habit. And once again, it's keeping a journal at your bed. It means writing it down. The research shows it's not just running it through your head. Its actual benefit is writing it down. So having a journal, three good things every night before you go to bed. So the next one is we're going to talk about character strengths. Did anybody do the VIA strength survey? Just raise your hand if you did. I think Mary tried to send the link out, or it was in a newsletter, but if you didn't do it, you should do it. It's basically what you would do is Google VIA, V-I-A, strengths survey. And that will take you to the VIA character website. And they have a survey. It takes about 20 minutes. There's a, I think, I don't even know, 100 questions maybe, but it takes about 20 minutes. And in the end, can I just lift yours up? No one will see it. You'll get a printout of your 24 character strengths in the order of your strengths. So every single person in this room and alive has 24 character strengths. We all have them, but we all have them in a different order. So some people have humor as their top strength and creativity as their bottom strength. No weaknesses, all strengths, but just, again, different order. So what you do when you get your list is you look at your top five strengths. Those are called your signature strengths. And why? Because it's just like your signature. They're unique to you. Only you have those. Well, other people might have it, but they're still unique to you, your five strengths. And then what the research shows, I think it's actually the next slide. Can you check? Yeah. The research shows that using your signature strengths in a new way every day for 7 days, The results are 6 months, increased happiness for 6 months and decreased depression for 3 months. Again, this is taking your top five signature strengths and using them, picking one to use in a new way every day. Strength use was found to be a predictor of well-being, led to less stress and an increased positive mood. So again, I encourage you to take the VIA Strength Survey, see what your top five strengths are, and then use them in a new way every day. So let me see what the next one is. Yeah. So that's what that says, and then let's go to the next one. And so as you're doing this, there are lots of different ways to use it. So say, for example, humor is in your top five. So using that in a new way every day, you might say, how can I use humor at work? And just keep going with me, Barry. In my relationship, how can I use humor in a new way? And that might mean I'm going to invite my partner to watch a comedy or a stand-up comedian show, or it's going to be my focus to make one person laugh today. So that would be a way. And in my hobby with my friends, keep going. Where you could do it with your parents or children, make them laugh. What, at home, alone, when I'm on a team, as a leader of a project, keep going, driving, and one more, I think, or yeah, while I'm eating, yeah. So again, the practice is to take your top five signature strengths, look at one, choose one to use in a new way every day. And what the results of that in the research shows, increased well-being and happiness, decreased depression. Why not give it a try? Again, this could be something that you decide to take on. So let's go to the next one. And say kindness is one of your top five signature strengths. You could go to Pinterest, and this is 100 ways to practice kindness. If humor's yours, you could go to Pinterest and just put in humor. It'll give you 100 ways to practice humor. Whatever your strengths are, your top five, you could go to Pinterest. If you can't think of ways to use it in a new way every day, they'll give you a whole big list, and you can just choose the ones from there that you want to do. So in the research, what they found, the real game-changing character strengths are right here. Optimism, gratitude, social intelligence, perseverance or grit, curiosity, self-control, and enthusiasm. So when you take the survey, look where those are on your list. And if one of these is in the lower bottom, then you want to say, how can I move this up? So actually, one of mine that's always the last, number 24 or number 23, because I've taken it 3 times, the last two on mine are always creativity and self-control. So self-control, I need to practice more. But actually, the story I want to tell, when I did it for like the third time, bravery wasn't my bottom five, but it was pretty low. It was something like 18, and I really wanted to move bravery up. So again, when you look at your list and you say, which one of these do I want to move up? The way you do that is you say, if I was 1%, for me, was brave, if I was 1% more brave, what would I do? What would a brave person do in this situation? So that was my goal. And last May at Kripalu, they had a positive psychology summit. And there, I went to it, and there were about 60 real heavy hitter positive psychologists. And I was there. And I made it my mission to bring bravery up. So what I decided when I got there is, in a group like this, believe it or not, if I was in your seat, I never raise my hand. If they ask for a volunteer, I'm like, no. If they say, does anybody have a question, I never raise my hand when I'm sitting where you are. I love being up here, but there, I never speak. It's kind of weird, but that's me. So I decided, what would a brave person do? If I was 1% more brave at this positive psychology summit with 60 heavy hitters, what would I do? I would raise my hand. Whenever they asked for a volunteer, I said, I'm raising my hand, and I did. Whenever they say, does anybody have any questions, I raise my hand. And at the end, actually, a woman came up to me and said, thank you so much for the questions you asked. They really helped me. And it never occurred to me that I would be helping someone else with my questions. I was just practicing bravery. And then we had a breakout session, and they asked us to get into threes, and we had to tell a story, and the other two people gave feedback, and then they were going to pick two people to tell their story in front of all 60 people. And I said, normally I would never want to do that, because if I was prepared, I would raise my hand, but you had no time to prepare, really. So I said, what would a brave person do in this situation? If I was 1% more brave, what would I do? So we had to put our names in a hat. It was totally random. And I said, dear God, if you want my story to be heard by all these people, let it be me. And the woman reached into the box and said, Pam Garamone. And then I was like, I was so scared. My heart was pounding. My knees were knocking. I was sweating. My hands were all cold and clammy. And I told my story in front of all those people. And the amazing thing about it was I got feedback from 60 people. Somebody wrote down all the things people said. So it really helped my story. And it was the most amazing experience. And that's how I moved bravery up. Same with you. You pick one, if it's self-control, if it's optimism, you say, I want to focus on moving this up. And how I do it is I'm going to say, if I was 1% more optimistic, or if I had 1%, self-control is my next one. The thing about that is, if there was a tray of chocolate chip cookies here on this table, I would eat the whole tray. I would. I have no self-control around sweets or Diet Pepsi, which is another addiction of mine. So self-control, that's a new one I need to move up. Does that make sense about strengths? So using your top five, pick one to use in a new way every day. And then the bottom ones or any other one you wanted to be in your top five, focus on it and you can move it up. Next. All right, so this last one, folks may remember if you were here last time, we did power poses. So this is just a reminder, research by Amy Cuddy, Harvard Business School. She found that how we hold our bodies makes a huge difference in how we feel and how we perform. So if you stand in a power pose, the next slide, for 2 minutes before an important event, you are more likely to succeed at that event. So say you have an interview and you want it to go really well, you go in the bathroom before the interview, you stand in a power pose for 2 minutes and you're more likely to get that job. If you have a hot date and you really want that person to like you the way you like them, you stand in a power pose for how long? 2 minutes before that event, not during. So you don't show up on your date like this. You go to the bathroom before, you do it for 2 minutes before the event, and you're more likely that person will like you. If you have anything, a test coming up, you stand and teach this to your kids. If they have MCAS coming up, they stand in a power pose, you're more likely to do well on the test. The science behind it is when we're standing in a power pose, it increases the hormone testosterone, which is confidence, and it decreases the stress hormone cortisol. That's the science for why it works. Try it. It's amazing. If you add I am statements to it. So when I do it, if you stand for 2 minutes, like it's a long time. So I do the next one, the next power pose. So I just keep interchanging. So this. And then I say I am statements. I am upbeat, positive, optimistic, happy, friendly, funny, confident, articulate, and inspiring. It doesn't mean you're already those things, but you're telling your brain, this is what I need for this day. This is what I need for this presentation, and your brain does whatever we tell it to. Most of the time, we tell it negative stuff. So it's flipping that to, I am upbeat, positive, whatever your words are that you want to be for whatever instant. When I'm coaching, my words are different. I want to be a good listener. So before my client calls, I get in a power pose and I say, I am still upbeat, positive, optimistic, but also a good listener, empathetic, encouraging, and the other words I want to be in that call. Does that make sense? Next one. Sorry, we don't have time for this one, so we're going to go on. That video, you should definitely look it up. Georgia Orphan makes people smile. He lost both his parents and he made it his mission in Savannah, Georgia to go out into the public and make people smile by giving them little toys, and it worked. So smiling is a happiness booster, and the rule here is anyone within 10 feet of you, you smile. Anyone within 5 feet of you, you say hello. It's just a connection. We all want to be seen. We all want to be visible. And just that simple thing of smiling at somebody can make their day and yours. So the next one, we're almost there. I'm talking really fast because I want to get through them all. And that's, who knows it better than Oprah? What she says is the deepest desire we all share is to matter. That what I'm saying means something to you. That you see me. You know, and that's by making eye contact, and that's by smiling and connecting. And as Tal would say, it's saying, not how are you, but how are you really? And then listen. That's how we make ourselves visible, and we make other people feel visible. And the last one, I told you there were two things that made all the difference for me. One was writing three good things every night, and one was gratitude. Every night in that same journal, I write down five things I'm grateful for. And sometimes they overlap with the good things. And the idea is not really to just write a list, but some nights you're tired and you do. Health, family, friends, and you just write a list. And that's okay, but really the biggest boost of happiness is to go through your day and really experience and feel that thing you are grateful for. So I was in a school the other day, and one of the administrators, as soon as he saw me, he gave me this big hug, and he was this really big guy. It felt so good. I mean, he didn't even know me, but it felt good. So that night I wrote my journal, a hug by Matt at Milford High School. And I feel that feeling of being held for that moment. So it's really writing down things you're grateful for, but actually re-feeling them when you're writing it down. The biggest boost of happiness for gratitude, actually, can we just kind of slip through here? We're going to skip all the benefits, so let's keep going from there. We don't have time for that. There are lots of ways to practice gratitude. You could have a gratitude jar where you put post-it notes in, and your family just keeps filling the jar, and you read them out. And you could have a gratitude letter. So this was a letter from the fourth grade. We had the kids write gratitude letters. I don't have time to read that. It was to her mom, and switch up from that one. And when she gave it to her mom and her mom read it, she said the next day in her journal, her mom was really happy when she got that. So the biggest boost of happiness is you write the gratitude letter to someone you'd like to thank, someone who's helped you through a tough time or whatever, and then you call them up and you say, I'd like to meet with you, and you sit in front of them and you say, I'd like to read this to you, but don't say anything. And you read your letter to that person. It's really tough to do, and it's kind of puts you in a vulnerable space. But when you're done, that is the biggest boost of happiness for you and for the receiver. It's just recognizing and acknowledging people in our lives who've made a difference to us by thanking them in a really concentrated way. So that's that. And these are some of the things we talked about, happiness boosters, some resources, and if you can just go to the last one. Where are you now on the happiness ladder? Just really talking about this and talking to other people. Hopefully you're a little bit higher. If not, again, it's a practice. And there are things that we can do every day to increase our happiness and well-being. And it doesn't mean way up here. It's 1%. If I was 1% happier, what would that look like? And what are some of the things I can choose to do to increase my happiness just a little bit every day? And again, doesn't mean we're happy every moment or every day. That's not the goal, right? It's impossible. And again, no one would like you if you were that person. So it's just a little happier, not happy. So I don't know if we have time for any questions, but
maybe a minute or two.
Yeah, so does anybody have any questions? Yes, thank you.
I'm wondering what the exact website is for
the Via Strengths?
Yeah.
Via Strengths character, or viacharacter.org/strengths.